You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Black Fat Femme podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Dr. John Paul, LLC. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Black Fat Femme, where the intersections of identity are celebrated. I am John, also known as Dr. John Paul, and I am doing the best to survive the entire solar system being in retrograde. How are you doing, sis?
I know that's right. Hello, hello. Same with all these planets renegating. I don't even know if it's safe to wake up anymore. I'm over it. Like, Earth is ghetto. I want to leave. But I know these planets will fuck with me. Is how I be feeling.
Yes.
But shalom, y'all. Shalom, y'all. I am Jordan, otherwise known as Joho. And it's a new year, new me for 5783 because Rosh Hashanah, bitch, which is the first of four Jewish New Years, began at sundown last night. Today is September 26th, so it was September 25th. So while Yahoo stuck in 2022, I am eons ahead. And honestly, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be in 2022 no more. Get me out.
Girl, I want to get out of this decade. Since 2020 came, she literally came in and was like, I'm here, and sat down. And it was like, nobody asked you to come in here.
You were
all
invited. She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't. She literally came in here and has just been giving nothing but turmoil since she sat down.
Hateration, holleration, this dancery since day one.
Yeah, and the dancery.
I don't understand.
And so, I mean, you really want to talk about it between us having audio issues, between my Peloton going out, between just mixed. Yeah, I don't know if I told you, but my Peloton screen went out last week and they had to replace it. Girl, it was just, it's been like literally. I'll just say this and then we can get into the show. I genuinely am not that girl that's going to get on the mic or go anywhere and basically be like, oh yes, Mercury retrograde is messing everything up. No, like life is complicated. Life is hard. We all do a lot of stuff. And so, yes, so I do believe that there is something going on in the air these last couple of weeks, because even friends of mine have been like, normally I'm not that girl to believe it, but I am genuinely now in my head going, something's up.
Yeah.
Because I've had so many people hit me and tell me like, this happened to me. I've heard bad news. I see people posting bad things, and I'm going, Man, something's up.
It's more than just Mercury. I mean, it's six planets. So I'm like, because right. I mean, like, usually I'd be like, okay, Merc, it's just Merc, relax, y'all. And I'm like, no, bitch, it's six planets. We all getting fucked up today. Like,
yeah, it yeah, is literally something's going on. So I've been trying, like, kind of like you, you know, I'm trying to live vicariously through your Jewish love and favor, and basically just being like, okay, I'm a be all right.
Well, shout out to us, bitch. Then, bitch. Yeah, shout out to us.
All of that, but definitely feel like I'm trying to keep it going, considering that the world is trying to take me out. But with that being said, we always start the show giving flowers to our girl Tisha Campbell in the segment Still Here. And I wanted to know, what is a piece of advice that maybe you've come across on social media, or maybe something that you've heard in passing, or maybe a friend has given you, that you're constantly thinking about? And the reason why I want to ask you this question specifically is I was thinking about last week. I was kind of perusing through Instagram and I had saw this clip from Tracee Ellis Ross, and I don't know where she was or what she was doing. Again, shout out to Tracee Ellis Ross, because she is the moment and has been the moment. But she said something that really struck me, and these last couple of days I've been really sitting with it. And I reposted it on social media too. So for those of you who want to peruse my Instagram or want to peruse my Twitter, it's there. She basically had noted that just because you aren't given your flowers, or that the world doesn't give you your flowers, doesn't make you any less worthy for them. And I feel like the reason why I wanted to bring that up is that I feel like there are so many of us who are so talented, are doing all these amazing, great things. And then for some reason, you know, kind of like the whole notion of like, oh, she's so underrated, why isn't she given so much more favor than what she is? Just because you may not have the accolades, or you may not be getting the shine that you feel like you deserve, because honestly, you may truly do deserve it, right? I love that she said that, because she had noted it, and how she kind of built out the idea. She was like, there were years I wanted to go to the Emmys, and there were years that I thought I should have won an Emmy for Girlfriends and some other shows that she's been on, and she's never won. And she said it would be real easy for her to sit in that and be like, why won't the world recognize how amazing I am as an actress? But she said that still like sitting with that and having to like think through that, that helped her fully understand, like, that doesn't mean that just because she hasn't been to the, well, now she's been to the Emmys multiple times, but just because she hasn't won an Emmy, or at that time because she didn't go to the Emmys, it doesn't mean that she's any less worthy of anyone who's won an Emmy, or anybody who is continuing to win Emmy. So I feel like there was like some element of like validation and affirmation, especially since that word literally had me up against the wall, feeling like, you know, I was like, she was literally singing my therapy session, right? Like, why do I feel this way? But ultimately it really spoke to me in the sense of like, just because you may not feel like you're getting the credit you deserve, it doesn't mean that you're any less worthy of that credit. So that's where I'm at. What about you? What's been on your mind?
Tracee, my Black and Jewish queen, I live for her so much. You know, she actually helped me reframe my version of affirmations in an episode of Oprah's Super Soul she was on. It was really just quite amazing. So I love me some Tracee Ellis Ross. For me, it was advice I got from my AP English teacher in high school. Like, I'm not saying that, if I was in AP English, but like, it was the one AP class I took. So like, let me have my flowers for that one. And I had finished, it was like one of our finals. And I finished the essay, and like, bitch, I slay my essays every time. Like, English was my lane. Like, I got A's in English. Yeah. So I always finish my essays quickly. And so I was shocked that I was like, I'm done, feeling like that girl. And like, you know, and like, at some point we can get into like how being fat means you have to think, you have to be smarter than other people, or like funnier than other people and shit. And so, you know, I was like, I'm done, like, I'm done quick. And he graded it right in front of me, and he gave me a B, and I was like, whoa, like a B? I was like, give me that bitch a B? Also, he usually take the papers and grade it and give it back the next day. He did it right at my desk in front of me. He knelt down to me. And this one I remember, like, to this day, it's so vivid. He said, Jordan, stop thinking you're so smart, because you are, but you won't get anywhere if you believe that you're the smartest or fastest person in the room. And like,
wow.
Teen me was like,
like, bitch, I'm crying against the wall. I'm like, oh my God. But crushed. Like, you know, but like, yeah. Like crushed. But when I think about that and grow up, like, it really has, I value that advice so much because it helps me remain balanced and like radically mm-hmm. empathetic and like really humble. And like, it's something that I think is so special to me now because I told a friend that one day and they're like, well, that's kind of rude of him. And I was like, no, like he's telling me that I am smart. Like he's saying like I am brilliant, but I can't act like I am the smartest person at all times. And it's true, I'm not. And so I feel like that was a piece of advice that has been taken with me, that has been humbled me. And honestly, it actually reminds me also, just because it's Rosh Hashanah right now, I'll just say this. It reminds me of this Jewish sage story of Abraham, who carried two notes in his pocket, and one in each side of the pocket. And one note says, I am but dust and ashes. And the other note says, the world was made for me, which was deeply humbling advice to receive. I got that from one of my great friends, John, who told me about that last year. And it's just such an interesting thing. And so advice that makes me feel humble and it reminds me that I am both incredible and amazing and also like just another bitch in the world. Like is honestly, yeah. It's like really helpful for me. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you can be like, and I think that what we're really talking about in this conversation specifically is the notion of duality, right? Like you have to really know and understand, like in both cases, right? You have to know that you're a bad bitch, mm-hmm. but you can't spend your whole entire life trying to seek validation for being that bad bitch. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something. And again, so interestingly enough, we're going to jump into our segment in just a second. So we can actually really get into that once we get into the category is section. So let's go ahead and kind of like put a holder there. But when we come back, we're going to get into the category for this week. And what we're going to be talking about is something that I feel like a lot of the listeners have been like kind of hinting at and kind of nudging us to really get into. So we'll go ahead and dive into that when we come back from the break.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Okay, fam, we're back. So this week's category is, we're going to have the conversation that people are always wondering, Can we say this? And yes, you can. You can say black and you can say fat. You can say both. You can say them. You can say nothing, but you can say both. John and I have talked about this before, and like John said in the last segment, that our listeners have hinted this too, and we figured let's bring it to the mic this week. So I want to first ask you, John, to really get into it, what are the instances when you notice people stumble on these words, black or fat?
Yeah. So the reason why when we were going back and forth about what we were going to do this week, I had brought this notion up was I think we've kind of hinted at in the last few weeks that we, you know, obviously we talk about blackness, we talk about fatness, we talk about our queerness. But I think there's still a lot of fear and shame that is kind of at the forefront of that conversation. And so as we're going to continue to kind of like build out this conversation, I had said to you, I said, okay, let's start setting the foundation that this is going to be one of those podcasts that really isn't afraid to kind of like go there around these topics, right?
Yeah.
And I think we hint around what our experience is like being black. We hint around our experience of what it's like to be fat. And I think both of those words, to an extent, have... I wouldn't say they have a negative connotation because I don't see them as negative. But at the same time, I definitely can sense that there are a lot of people who genuinely in their mind are afraid to like engage what both of those words mean. So using the notion of like, you know, queer people of color instead of saying black, what is that kind of insinuating when people say, oh, you're just fluffy, you're not fat? And it's like, nah, bitch, I'm fat. Like, why is it so complicated for folks to just say, yes, you're fat? And people say fat, like I always say this, like, you say fat like it's a bad thing. Like, girl, I'm fat and I'm okay with that. And so, you know, and I've gotten asked that in so many different, you know, conversations in different spaces. You know, why are you so okay with people just calling you fat? And I'm like, because that's what I am. We don't have issues with calling someone a male. We don't have an issue with calling someone a woman or a female. So why can't I say fat, right? It's a word. So with that being said, I definitely think like when I think people stumble on those words because I think we genuinely have been taught that those two words specifically have some sort of negative connotation, when in reality they are things in my mind that should be celebrated. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first I'll start with facts. I feel like fat is, to me, I feel like fat is the one that people can't really grasp or get their minds around. I mean, I have seen people stumble over black and like really fail horribly while they do it. And like, it's comical to watch it, honestly. But I'll begin with fat. I think with people, like when people are trying to use it as a descriptor and they just don't know how to complete the sentence with it, I was reading with someone who was talking about another friend who was also fat, like, and they identify as fat, and the person was like, yeah, they're so funny and over what, I mean, like also a person of size, ? And I was like, bitch, you can just say fat. The person identifies as fat. And I will be really clear, like some people, like even other fat people don't identify as fat. And like for them, I will say person of size or plus size. And I understand why. Like when people address me or folks that I know or identify as fat, it's like, bitch, you can just say fat. And I think because, I mean, we have to get through like the medical stigma and bias doctor's office. We have to get through the idea of desirability and being fat. Like it's all those things. I think people, it's like, and I think also because the question why people stumble on it, or I feel like they have a harder grasp, is because people just see fat as like, yeah, but like you can change that. And like, sure, I could change it. Like I could go through a year and a half of hating myself and like depriving of myself and, you know, developing a disorder and like experiencing troubles. Like I could do all that, and I'd rather just choose joy. Like I'd rather just choose to not do that. I actually don't need to go through that. I don't need to experience trauma to like get to a place of like loving, accepting who I am and myself, and also like embracing my body and also like acknowledging that like sometimes my body isn't where I think it is, or maybe where I want to be at. And like also going to bed tonight saying, bitch, it's okay. Like your body is here and that's what matters. And it's here and queer and amazing. And so, you know, I think with black, I think people, it's like, like everyone, I mean, everyone, I would hope, know, like you can't change that. Although people will try it for sure. And people will try it and people will try you. And I think what I see with people do that is when I always love when people say blacks, plural, that just hits different when someone's like, oh, the blacks. And I'm like, You can just say black folks.
That S means something different. That means, that S has like a different connotation.
Yes. It's just, it's such an interesting thing. I mean, it also comes down to, I think, how, John, you and I, we language to us is really intentional. Language to us really means a lot. And so I think it also depends on how people say it. I'm always mindful of the tone people use. And I think people don't get this enough, but that it's not just what you say, but also how you say it, and the tone of in which you say it. Things is also just And so I see people stumble on black, one, because they don't know they can use plural or singular. And I'm like, just say black. Another thing is just say black. You ain't gotta say blacks. You ain't gotta say Negroes. You ain't gotta say African Americans, just say black. I'll give you the easiest out.
Colored is not the right word, sis.
Okay. Can I just? So I have a story. When I was in school, so in Long Beach, I was with my roommate. And we had a friend, and bless their soul, I won't name them. And I'm like, if they ever listen to this, I'm sure either they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Or they'll be like, oh my God, why'd you say this? But I have to say it because I was just bitch, how? So we were at Holy Moly, which was the one right by campus, bottomless Taco Tuesday. Me and my roommate M took our friend there, and he was like, I'd never seen, and he's white, and I said before, there's white. There's white, and this happens to be white. He's white.
With a Q.
White. And he was like, I did not know there were so many colored people here in Long Beach. And that face, M and I looked at each other like, friend, acquaintance now at this point. You've been demoted now, acquaintance. You can't be saying one, you can't be saying that, period. Color's not the term. But also, you're in a room, you are in a black and brown place right now. You can't be saying that shit out loud, period. Oh my God. And I was like, it's 2016 and you thought colored was still okay. Okay.
So wait a second. How long? I have questions about this story that you just shared. So, how long were you friends with this person?
I think at that point.
And are you still friends with that person?
No, I would not actively say we're still friends. I would say, and I say it's more so because we just don't keep in touch. So, it was hard because we were in a, I can't really say, cause I'm if I say this, it'd be too revealing, but we were in a certain extracurricular group as well. So I was school together, in the same group. And so I was I can't X this bitch in the way I want to X this bitch because I will see them on the regular.
You have to see them regularly.
Me and Em talked about this a lot. We know that he literally just does not know better. And we can get this moment to be like, fuck you. Or can be like, listen, you can't say this word. We told him, I did not realize it was so bad. I mean, I was a history book will tell you it's bad, but okay. He was I did not realize that was bad. I'm so he was very apologetic and never use the word again. When I say we're friends, no, I haven't seen him in 5 years. So I don't text him or anything. Although I will say I ran into him this year, actually, in the most random event, I ran into him, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And I was mortified for a hot moment. He's really nice and has learned better for sure. But I mean, to this day, I just don't understand. I mean, also, he had many, so I was just it makes sense as to why you would say that. And also, why? I just don't understand, bitch.
So this, and I think this brings up a really good conversation. So I think because the way language is so, and we have to be, and I'm stumbling over my words because I'm trying to form a thought, but I'm also trying to be real with what I want to say, but also being cognitive of the way we think about things. So words carry a lot of meanings. And I think sometimes words can be very triggering for people. And so I can understand why maybe someone might be scared to say black, because maybe they said black in a situation and they might have been like, and I hate using the word attack because I think attack has a really interesting tonality to it too. But like they may have gotten into confrontation with someone, right, for saying black.
Yeah.
Or may have called someone fat and the person went off on them, right? So I think we have to, there is this nuanced dance you have to do with certain words. But I also think, so kind of like this notion around like pronouns, right? So I get asked all the time to do trainings and to have conversations with people around pronouns. And I'm like, why not just talk to people about how they identify, right? Like, why are we spending so much time trying to guesstimate how people identify? Because when I tell people, you know, when people ask me what my pronouns are, I say I identify as a black fat femme, you know, cisgender male, you know, my pronouns are they, them, tired, yada, 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 right? Like, I genuinely will give people those limiters. So that way you don't have to guess when you're around me. And I wish we gave people that space to be able to talk about. And again, so maybe this conversation, while it's noting like it is okay for us to have to use the word black and it's okay for us to use the word fat, I think we need to start having real conversations with people about what identity truly is. And we don't create enough space for people to openly talk about their identities, whether it be what someone may say, a pejorative term that they celebrate, right? Like some people, why do you identify as queer? I identify as queer because I know I'm different and my whole lived experience has been different and I've had to learn how to celebrate being queer.
Yeah.
So yes, I do identify as queer because that's something that makes me a part of who I am. So I guess that might be something there, right? Like around this notion of we need to give people space to be able to talk more about their identity in an open and honest fashion.
No, I think I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's something I constantly work on. I mean, even to the point I made earlier, like I know some people don't identify as fat, so I'll use the words that they want to use. And I will say it's interesting. Like I'm experiencing like a bit of friction, like with the grace we're giving for people who are afraid to say black, which is also interesting because like, you know, I am like the giver of grace and I'm like, I don't know what I feel about that.
You really are a graceful bitch.
I'm a graceful bitch.
You give a lot of grace to a lot of people. More grace than I could ever.
I think it's I think like what you're saying, it makes me think a lot about like when people frame at like what's the cutoff of someone being problematic, you know, like what's the cutoff like in the timeline of the world, people being problematic in that. And I always tell people like I don't hold anything against people for shit that they, well, if they're like in their 20s now, like even 30s now, I don't hold shit against for people like for the shit that they said or did like pre Obama, I'll say pre-2012 Obama, because like we didn't have access to social media the same way. We didn't have access to language the same way. Like Google was free, but Google was not who she is now. Like it was all different. You know, the brief window.
She was giving ass Jeeves. She was giving ass Jeeves.
Yeah.
Very limited. Yes.
Oh my god, that is such a niche joke. Yes, but yes, giving ass Jeeves, you know, and yeah. There's a the small window, 2012 to 2016, is when we really saw the rise of social media, and we saw coverage happen with people around the world, and people could actually access information within seconds instead of like a dial-up beep tone. Like, so to me, I'm like, so like pre-2012, I'm like, listen, you can say whatever you want to say. I mean, most of everything you want to say, I don't hold that against you. 2012 to 2016, like pre-Trump, I'm like, you have the tools. And like, I can still give grace for how you fucked up then, but then like Trump era, I'm like, you cannot, like there is no more grace I can give you at that point. Like I cannot give you that because now you have all the access you need to change something and you aren't using that. Yeah. And so I think, you know, I think I express that resistance like with black, cause I'm like, you know, I'm like, but by that point we had those conversations. And, but I mean like, but that to your point, you know, I mean that, like that was the era of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and Eric Garner, you know, and Sandra Bland. Like I so like now as I'm talking, like, no, I do understand because people probably did still feel like a resistance to saying black, mm-hmm. you know, and like mm-hmm. at that point, I mean, like, wasn't that around the time like you had like Raven talking about how like how she was not African American?
She was from every continent. Yeah.
It was like so actually, you know, as you talk, I'm like, no, you're right. People can get grace because we also have not been the best stewards of, or the people around us have not been the best stewards of how we will black, or the people select as like our gatekeepers, which they aren't our gatekeepers, like. At all,
right?
You know, like they have not been the best folks. So I actually, I guess, talk about it. No, I can't say that. And then I think with fat, I think fat is a word that people are just like. I think, you know, again, that comes down to when people know or think that you can change it, they're just gonna revert back to right. why can't you just change it instead?
Well, it's the bigger conversation piece of, well, why would you want to be fat, right? Mm. Like, because that's the thing that makes me very, so mm. when we have these nuanced conversations, right, and I know that we're probably jumping between, and they're like, well, what are John and, you know, what are Joho really trying to say? And what we're really trying to say, I think, in this conversation is that there has to be something in someone who does the work to learn or to relearn the love that they have for certain terminology. So when someone refers to me as mm-hmm. black, I don't have a problem with it. When someone refers to me as fat or queer, I don't have a problem with it. That's the work that I've done. But I also believe that we understand the connotation that a lot of these words hold. And so someone would say, well, why would you want to be called fat? It's you knowing and understanding the ways that the world treats fat people and the ways that in which you are seen as the other, or treated as the outsider, or treated as the unbeautiful person. Right. And so, like, I thought it was funny because as we were going through the show notes yesterday, we were talking about, or at least for me in my mind, I was typing this notion of like, when sometimes someone would say, why would you refer to yourself as fat? Right. Or this notion of having issue with the terminology of fat. It's, oh, girl, you know how you benefit from being skinny, right? You know how the world has offered you the privilege of we could dance around and talk about thin privilege for days. So it's you understand the benefit of being thin. And so for me, taking that back and saying, oh, I'm okay with being fat, even though I know the way the world's going to treat me for it, or I'm okay with identifying as black. And that's why sometimes too, you get a lot of the, and I'll say this, I wouldn't say I've seen it in a lot of different, you know, I wouldn't say I've seen multiple people, or I know multiple people who have, but in the past I have met people who I knew were mixed and they were very adamant on saying, oh, I'm mixed. Right. They didn't want to say that they were mixed with black, or they didn't want to just say, oh, no, I'm black. I have mixed friends who just say, oh, no, girl, I'm black. And it's like, OK. Right. But there are friends people that I've met in passing that have been very adamant to say, oh, no, I'm mixed. Right. And so it's, you know, the way that the world treats black people. You understand the way that the world treats fat people, and you don't want to be associated with that. So I think that there's, in this larger conversation of just say black and just say fat, there is this conversation around what are the negative connotations that these words carry. And when we own them, or when we start to identify as them, and we start to celebrate the identity or the identification around them, how much work goes into pushing back against what the world believes to be true about black and fat people. But that's just kind of where my mind's at with it.
Oh, I mean, you just said so much there that I'm trying to like store in money at the same time of things I want to respond to. Cause I think I love how you first framed it as like people's willingness to love these words or love these identities. I think it's such an interesting way of seeing it, because I haven't thought of it that way before. And it's like, oh, like I would say that, like there are words that I love that people mm-hmm. don't love. I always say I'm black or I'm mixed black. Like I always say I'm black and Jewish. Like I claim those things for myself. And I also know folks who are just like, I'm just mixed. I'm like, okay, girl, like you mean Dupree. So like, who, like, what does that mean? we all mix. So like, how we mix in this bitch? Like,
right.
And
right.
So it's such an interesting, that's just such a helpful way of framing it, because I'm like, oh, it does require work. And it also, it's made me think of a conversation I had with a friend last night who's also fat. We're talking about relationships and partners and like the work that they have to do. But we're saying like, or my friend was saying that they don't, they can't really always have space for people who haven't done that work yet. And I was like, well, it's easy for us to say that because we spent a decade doing that work. So like we have invested ourselves into shifting how language affects us, into shifting how we use language with to identify with ourselves and to like love ourselves and to help other people. But like, so you're sharing that has made me think about like that, like, you know, it's easier for me to stand on like my high horse of who I am because I know I've done that. And so I'm like, oh, actually, so as you're speaking, I'm like, oh, I actually really can find so much more grace for people because like I'm privileged to have done this work, and I'm privileged to have had people around me who've done the work as well, who helped me get there to a point where I'm like, oh, fat is a term that I use because it is who I am. Black is a term that I use because I love it. Jewish person is because I love it. Like that is you're saying so many things in there, and I'm also thinking about like when you said, when someone says like, or asks you, why would you want to be fat? To me, the through line is like, oh, they're asking us, why would we choose to be more oppressed than we already are? Which makes me think so much of being queer, right? Because when people will always ask me, you know, like why would you choose this lifestyle? I'm like, I would not choose, like, I don't choose to be hated more then, like, you already hate me for existing. Period.
It posits this notion of why can't people just choose to not be as hateful? And I think that's
yes,
right. Oh, in the same God, way yes. that you could say it that way, right? And so instead of bothering me and being racist, right, instead of bothering me and being fat phobic, why don't you just leave me alone? And I think that's the thing that a lot of people can't wrap their head around. But what I was going to say, like, I've learned for myself, I also have started to understand, and again, this is like you said earlier, and I want to kind of throw back to that. You made a really good point when you said it's the tonality and it's the way that people use these words. Mm-hmm. I can always read and understand what someone means when they say something to me, right? Mm-hmm. And so thinking about African American, right? When someone says, well, why don't you, like, because I have literally been in places where I've had to like fill out paperwork and they put the other, and I'll check the other and I'll write black in it, right? Because I know what you mean by African American. I understand what in my mind, being a black person who lives in America, like I can fully understand what African American means to people. It's a nicer way for you to say Negro or, you know, the N-I-G-G-E-R word, right? And so I think for me that's the thing I've learned. But even the same thing with fat. When people use the word fat, I can always tell in what kind of like, what is the undertone that you're trying to get at?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing for me when I say fat, it's like, I'm celebrating the fact that I'm a big girl. Like I'm good with that, but you use it as a pejorative term. Mm. So now we need to have a conversation about why you think being fat is bad. If that makes sense.
Yes. No, it makes perfect sense. And I think, I mean, truly, like, it's a masterful skill that I think we as Black fat femmes have been forced to harness, but now can like wield to our benefit. Like we can clock when someone says something, cause we know exactly how the fuck they meant it. Like, bitch, I know you're trying to hurt me with that. You know, what is it that my Angelou would say, blessed memory, like, you may write down I'm gonna butcher it, but like
I know what you're talking about.
Like, dust she rose, bitches, like,
bitch, I still rise. And I say this again, I don't know if I mentioned it, I don't know if I told you the experience that I had with the young woman who came up to me when I was going to Cheesecake Factory. Did I ever tell you that story?
Oh my god.
So I mentioned that story. So for listeners who may have just joined us now, or listeners who may have forgotten that story, I had a woman come up to me and ask me if I had a gym membership. Like the first thing out of her mouth was, do you go to the gym? And I basically had to read her down. But I think about that, right? I think one of the masterful skills that we have as Black fat femmes is being able to read through those nuanced microaggressive macroaggressive ways that people say things and how they talk about things or how they adhere to things. And I for me personally, part of my joy in being me, I'm gonna say this, and I know we have to wrap up, one of the things that I enjoy about being a Black fat femme is making people sweat. So like when people say, oh, we don't carry that size, why? Well, we don't carry this. Why? Okay, but you still didn't answer my question. Why? Like, why is it your company not carrying that size? Why do I have to go online to find something I want to wear? Like, it really, a part of my joy, and I know this might be terrible, part of my joy is watching people fall apart around the internalized depression that they have, like the oppression that they've taken in. I love seeing people around that. I'm black. So, oh, people of color. Nah, bitch, you meant black people. That's what you meant, right? Like, seeing people fall apart around that is just so fun to me. And I don't.
See people fall.
It's just,
I love watching a bitch shatter.
Part of who I am. Yeah, I just love seeing people crack.
Okay,
what
I know,
did you mean?
I know we have to cut soon, but I want to ask one more quick question because I mean, we can make like fun, yeah, but in cutesy. But like to the point that you made about like the way people say things, or like, you know, are trying to be like euphemistic about their like about their oppression or fat phobia or racism. I want to talk really quick about people like who try to prop us up, like we're saying, oh, like you're so brave, or like thinking that we're so delusionally confident that we like inspire others. Like, yes, I am an alien superstar, and it's not because I'm fat. It's just that I'm that girl. Like, you know,
yes,
so
you really are that girl.
I would just love to hear from you really quickly about what do you think about that when people are like, oh, I mean, I imagine people tell you all the time, John, like you're so brave to be riding four cycles a day. Like,
yeah. Okay. And that's the thing. I think it's so interesting to me because, it, you know, when you tell people, yes, I have a gym membership. Yes, I ride my Peloton. You know, I can do up to 3 to 4 rides in one sitting. It's very interesting how people respond to you, because there's this, and I think a lot of this, so the greater conversation that we have is, or if there's anything I feel like anyone should take away from this conversation, is there's a lot of stuff that society has told you about people that is not true. And I think that that's really what the core of this conversation is about. There is a world in the mind of the world, and I say media is a big part of this. Media has built this idea of what black people are. A lot of it's not true. Mm-hmm. There is a idea of what fatness is in this world. It's not true, right? Like, just because I had tweeted this, just because you're skinny does not mean you're healthy. I know a lot of unhealthy skinny people. A lot of skinny people are doing very unhealthy things to stay skinny, including drugs, including steroids, including throwing up, so not trying to trigger folks, but I'm just saying, like, I think there's this real big conversation we have to have around, like, as we talk about the nuances of being who we are and celebrating who we are. A big part of my own journey too was like unlearning the things that the world had told me about that, right? So when someone posits me as brave for being fat and for being outwardly queer and black, I have to sometimes push back and ask people, what makes me being who I am brave? So you're telling me that you know and understand that this world is not safe for me. So now my question to you is, what are you doing to eradicate that? And I think that's the thing of where I get at. But I think the other thing I was thinking about too, and asking this question about, you know, why is it that people want to prop us up as being so much greater? And so it's because a lot of people know what we deal with and know what we have to deal with and know that they can never do it. And I think that's the thing that makes me so happy to be who I am. I literally sometimes will sit and I'll go, if anybody had to be me for an hour, they wouldn't last. And I think that's the thing that I genuinely take so much pride in knowing that being a big girl, being a black being a successful black fat girl, right? There's
real
a lot
fat girl
of things.
Shit. Yes.
Yeah, real fat girl shit, right? That's gonna be the title of this episode.
Yes!
Real fat girl shit.
Real fat girl
yes!
shit.
Yeah. But no, it really is one of those things of like, you know what my life is like, and you know that you could never do it. And so not throwing shade at someone else, but I just think about that a lot. Other point that I wanted to make too, this conversation around, I just wanted to say this because I have the platform to say it, the conversation between thick and fat on social media with a lot of our queer girls, I'm gonna need that to stop. Like, I'm gonna need that to stop. Because again, thick is not fat, and fat is not thick, and I'm okay with that. using thick as a calloused, you know, or as a cover for fatness, in my opinion, is very, it's just low. And I hate it. I hate to see it. Yeah. And so I hate that journey for most people. But a lot of people lean into that, too, because, again, owning your fatness is hard. And it's the world has not made it easy for us to do it. And so with that being said, I guess we can kind of end the segment by saying shout out to the people who are owning their blackness. Shout out to the people who are owning their fatness.
All the above and in between too.
Thank you.
I'm gonna put a pin on because, like, you know, as you said, we have much more to get through. But I'm gonna put a pin in the conversation about, and I think at some point listeners will talk about this in future episodes about health and being fat and like ask people, we don't owe you our health, period. Like, if we want to be fat and unhealthy, that's also our business and prerogative too. If we want to be fat, like we don't owe that to anybody else. So just want to say, we will pin that. Besides that, you heard it from us first, y'all. You can say black, you can say fat, you can say both. And on that note, it's time to get paid for our labor on this. So we're gonna go collect our checks and come back after this break.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, deputy opinion editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
All right, so me and Joho have been going back and forth too about wanting to add new segments and add more things to kind of spice up the podcast. And one of the things that we came up with was a segment that we are going to rotate out called How You Healing. Kind of like, how you healing?
How you healing?
Yes, yes. How you healing? I'm like, Chris, you can use that as a soundbite. How you healing? And I wanted to shout out my good friend, and I don't even call her a friend. She's my sister. My sister Rhea had posed a thought to me in passing this week, and I was like, wow, that actually is going to be a really great kind of like segment piece about how you healing. And so she had noted that she was listening to another podcast, and she was saying that one of the people that she was listening to on the podcast was talking about this notion of who we would be if the world wouldn't have gotten their grimy hands on us. And what she meant by that was the world is so notorious for telling you that you can't do things, or that you shouldn't show up a certain way, or that certain people who show up a certain way can't do certain things. And so I wanted to posit this notion of like how you heal, and wanting to talk about what creative ventures or things that you have kind of had to like, thinking about the ways that the world has told you you can't do X, Y, and Z because of who you are. How have you been able to kind of push past that? And so I'll let you go first. I guess kind of the real question that I wanted to ask you is, if the world hadn't got their grimy hands on you, what is something that you may have leaned into more, or what is something you're leaning to in more as you unlearn the messiness of the world around you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I'm so happy you have a new segment. Like, look at, I love this for us. Come on, creative bitches.
Yes.
Come on, baby. Tell me how you healing. Yes. Ooh. Ooh. I would say for me, I would say, honestly, it would be painting. Like I joke with my friends, like I had the artistry of a toddler. Like I'm up with stick figures heavy. Like, and I have friends who are incredible painters. I fuck with stick figures heavy. It's my shit. But I have friends who are incredible painters, and they like they use painting as their vehicle for release and joy. And I think so much about not having that relationship with painting myself. And it's because my penmanship isn't, I would say it doesn't look, I don't want to say it looks bad, because that's like judging myself, but like it doesn't look how other people's my age range look like, you know? And like I sometimes just scribble. It's like my signature is a scribble. It's not even like, I'm like, bitch, what is this look like? And so I think painting has been hard for me. And I feel like people, for sure, like it was not an accessible thing for me as a kid. I didn't do like a lot of art classes. I mean, I did other arts based work, but not arts classes. And like my parents and I never, like, we didn't know paint or simp and shit. Like, that was never for us. And so I think so much about how I have missed out on that expression of my creativity. And I'm really trying to reframe that for myself now by painting more. One of my friends had shown me a lot about painting over the pandemic. And we would play some like sound bath music, pop edible, and like just do some painting. And that was really healing. And now I've actually bought some canvas and some ink myself. And I try once a month to like just drive out somewhere. I mean, not too far, because I'm not trying to get killed in the streets, but like
gas is high.
Gas is high. I'm not trying to have some clan member come snatch me up or something. Like, that's not the journey. So like to a public beach or like a public park, and I'll just bring a canvas and some ink, and I'll put on my headphones, and I'll just paint. It's helped me feel so much more aligned with my creativity, especially like now that I transition to a new job where I'm not as creative in the sense of like social media design work. Like, I have to find other ways to feel I'm pouring into my creativity, and this is one of them. So I would say, painting is what I was oppressed out of, and now I'm trying to reframe and heal from. How about you, John? How you healing?
I think so. Kind of the same. I think so. It's so interesting because I feel like so many of us would be so much more creative if we had the chance to be more creative, or if we were given the opportunity to be more creative. And I think about that. Like, I have friends who are like really talented. Like, they're really good singers. And they're really good dancers. And I think about that a lot, because when thinking about singing, a lot of people know this, obviously, from my TED Talk, that, you know, I grew up in a family that didn't really like the sound of my voice because they quote unquote said it was too effeminate, or I took a love, or I joined in. I would say I reveled in the voice of women singers. And so because I enjoyed female singers or women singers, I got a lot of backlash from my family around that. And so for years, there was actually a time period. And then even too, like when I genuinely in my mind thought, oh, I'm going to go to school for music. I'm going to go to school and I'm going to join choir, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. There were all these subtle ways that the world kind of told me, ooh, girl, you don't fit the schematics of what a male singer should look like or sound like. And so for years I was very, very and I'm still working through it. I'm not gonna even play y'all, and that this is kind of the part of like how you healing is being honest about the things you're having to work through. And so really hearing my voice back, like I will catch my, and I, people know this about me. I'm always humming a tune. I'm always singing. I'm always, and that might be, I think that's a part of me being on spectrum. I tell people all the time, I think I'm on spectrum. But a part of me being on spectrum is that I associate so much, and it's a real thing. A lot of people who are on spectrum, they always associate.
My laugh wasn't laughing.
No, I know your laugh was not a laughing at me. I think your laughing was like, why would I say that?
I'm also neurodivergent as well.
Yeah, so I know I'm neurodivergent in a lot of ways, but that's one of the ways I'm neurodivergent is music. I can hear things and it will trigger a song lyric, or it'll trigger something in my head. So I will randomly just bust out in song because something, and it's a way to calm me down too. Like music has always been a very big way. It's kind of like a nervous tick, I guess, when I hear like something terrible, or I'll be singing sometimes like, ooh, that's really fucked up. Like I'll just randomly just hum a tune because that's just who I am. I've always been very musical. And so I think for me, the thing I'm healing around is starting to just kind of not play so much, like, I hear other people sing and I hear how easy it is for them to sing, and I have to learn, and I've had to understand and work through that. But also same thing with like dancing and things. Like I miss my dance days. I used to be a part of, in college, I was a part of a dance troupe, and I miss it, and I think about that a lot. But even just thinking about like, if my life would have looked so different if I had family and friends around me who said, John, you are a great singer, and John, you are a great dancer, and we're going to pour our energy into you being a great singer and a great dancer. And so I think for me, it's part of the also healing in that is not like holding that animosity towards my family for not pouring that into me, and really just kind of setting it and saying, okay, you know, I didn't have the support for it, but I can still keep it, you know, I can still hold a note. And if I need to get out there and shake my ass, I can.
Yeah.
You know, and so just really just thinking of it in that manner of like, you know, not holding animosity towards it. But I definitely do believe that I probably would be working in the music industry in some capacity if I would not have been kind of strayed away from it, you know, in my earlier developmental years. But all that to say, I think part of the reason why we're adding, you know, how you healing into this conversation is really thinking about this notion of, and this is kind of what we were talking about when we were talking about adding the segment in, is really thinking about how are we giving ourselves grace as we are healing and as we are learning through things. So you'll find that if I see something or if I hear something that I think it's like, oh, that's a great how you healing conversation, we'll go ahead and we'll come back to it and really just kind of can keep encouraging people to, again, this is really just a space to give ourselves grace around the things that we're like, oh, that sucks, or oh, you know, we had this really terrible experience, but we're working through it and we're learning to give ourselves grace the way that we're trying to give everyone else in the world grace. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and take another break so we can go ahead and pay some bills as well as get paid. But in a second, we will be back to talk about our yes ma'ams and our no ma'am bams.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Okay, fam, it's time to get to my personally favorite segment where we keep you guessing as to whom we're giving flowers and to whom we're casting stones. My yes ma'am of the week is going to go to this new Netflix show called Mo. That was referred to me by one of my soulmates and friend of the pod, Silvana. The show is loosely based on the life of comedian Mo Ahmed as a Palestinian-American refugee. I haven't watched his comedy before, but the show is funny in so many ways with quite a lot of like subtle commentary about being Palestinian in Texas, how perception of identity is blurred, caring for someone on the spectrum, and like very explicit commentary about the immigration system for asylum seekers. It's a fantastic show. Like, I was just looking for something to watch. Someone was like, watch the show, bitch. I'm fucking laughing out loud. And that shit is hilarious. And also, like, I mean, the show is done in three, like, it's like the characters speak constantly in Spanish, Spanish, Arabic, and English. And I'm like, this show is balancing language. Wow. So interestingly. Just, it's so dope. Something I encourage everyone to watch. Have you seen before, John? Because I saw you were like,
I am familiar. So I had saw the promo Netflix. So obviously you all know that I do a lot of stuff in media. I am on the media side for Netflix. And so whenever they have new shows getting ready to come out or whenever they're looking for folks to do press stuff, I'll get an email. So I saw the email come through and I didn't watch the show, but I wanted to give the show snaps because when I saw it come through on my email, I was like, wow, that's actually real dope. So I probably will tune into that.
It's a good ass show. Yay. My no man Pam this week is just for clothing manufacturers that still make cute clothes for thin people. I just want to ask y'all, why are we not past this? Have we not realized that fat folks can work the average just as good, if not better, than the wheat thins? I just want to know. I saw the cutest outfit on a retailer site last week. I won't say who, but went up to a 2X, and its cousin outfit had polka dots, which wasn't cute, was for extended sizes. And I was just like, why do you hate us so much? Like, I'm not a ladybug. I don't need to have polka dots on me. Just give me the cute checkers. I will work it better, but that's neither here nor there. So clothing manufacturers that still make shit for only thin people. Do better, learn better, live moss, because you ain't doing shit.
Not Joho being in front of the computer like, what was the reason?
What was the reason?
I can see you screaming at the computer.
I'm trying to get in my paycheck, and I can't even do that literally. Now. Damn.
And let's talk about it. These companies be playing in our face. It's like, do you realize that I'm actually trying to give you money? And because you continue to not have my size on your site, Thank you. Are literally just, you're hustling backwards.
Hustling backwards. Truly, like, bitch, like, listen, like, we all know the fat tax is there. And you know I will pay more. I don't want to pay more, but a bitch will if I have to. So, like, right, really, right. Like, you're, like, who's winning here? It's not you. Bitch, it's not you.
You really are. You are literally hustling backwards. That is literally all I see sometimes when I go on these sites and I'm like, oh, still 2X, huh? Still 2X. She by Sheree. I'ma name it. She by Sheree. 2X. Really? 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 She by Sheree? Okay. And I mean, and I would have given you a dollar for a shirt, but it only goes up to 2X. So you played yourself. Peloton, love you to death. Would love to be a sponsor. Would love to do something with you, but you only go up to 2X.
Oh,
play
my
yourself.
God. Okay.
I would spend money.
One time I had commented on certain Peloton trainers Instagram when they had dropped the Pride collection. I was like, I think this is so great. I would have loved to see this in like a 4X, like, go to a 4X or 5X, right? They just responded, thank you so much. And I was like,
Yeah, that's their way of basically. Yeah,
I'm and I was like, no, like, let me not make a reel with this bitch's name. But I was like, I'm trying to give you hope. Like, fat people also use your service. Like, and it's sad because I, like, you know, we fucked with Peloton Heavy, so I'm like, just increase. But okay,
just give us the size. Yeah. Okay. And again, and I know people who listen to the podcast that work for Peloton. Love you. I'm not throwing any shade. I'm actually going to ride my bike when I'm done with my work today. But I'm just saying, you are hustling backwards by not having our size on your site. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and jump into mine. So first off, my yes, ma'am, I'm going to get into my original yes, ma'am, but I still want to say, about a week ago, I'm still reveling from the notion that Taylor Haynes, I forget her last name, won Big Brother. So I definitely want to give her the shout out and the love that she deserves. Because I want to make sure.
Taylor ain't done nothing to nobody. Was it that really said, that we said in that episode? Who was it with Travelle and Jarrett? Taylor ain't done nothing to nobody. Yeah.
No, she didn't. She hasn't done anything but be black and beautiful, and people were mad about it. But a week ago, she won, and I'm here for it. And I just wanted to give her flowers about winning Big Brother. And again, I'm sorry if I spoiled it for folks. You had a week to watch the show. So sorry if you feel,
especially by the point by the time this came out. Yes,
yeah. By the time this comes out, she would have been one for a week and a half. So you had time to watch. So sorry about it. Not sorry about it. I should say not sorry about it because I definitely am very excited. The other thing I wanted to shout out is I wanted to shout out the black women who are doing the work in relation to politics and voting. I don't know where this person came from. Me being a person who cares about politics, but I guess as I get older and as I start to recognize how much my work aligns with politics, I'm always like, I don't talk about it all the time, but my eye is definitely kind of like trying to understand and follow things. So I definitely wanted to shout out Stacey Abrams. I don't know if you saw about, I would say a week, 2 weeks ago, she had a she was doing a debate with some gentleman, and this white man was basically trying to make it seem like Stacey Abrams wasn't on her shit. And she, when I tell you, mama read him in the nice, nastiest way, if I lived in Georgia, I would be running to the polls to vote for this woman. So I wanted to shout her out. I also want to shout out Odessa Kelly. Odessa Kelly is a friend to the pod and actually will probably be on the show in the next couple of weeks. We're doing some stuff with her campaign. Odessa is running for Congress to represent Tennessee, and another black queer person who has really been very vocal about the injustice that black women and black queer women has faced in Tennessee. So I wanted to shout her out and just say, you know, to any women, whether they be black or not, women who are helping people understand politics, women who are making voting accessible, black women who are putting themselves on the line to make sure. I mean, we've seen in the last few years, black women step up to the plate to do what they needed to do to make sure that, you know, we all have rights and that we don't end up, you know, in what they call it, white roots, Handmaid's Tale. Oh. That we don't end up in a Handmaid's Tale situation. I call that show White Roots.
I'm
because
screaming.
It really is White
I'm
Roots.
Screaming.
With that being said, just shout out to black women who are doing the work. Now, the other side of my no ma'ams this week, I have, so I will say I begrudgingly, this show has been out for a minute. At this point, when the show premieres, it will have been out for a minute. And so Evan Peters as Jeffrey Dahmer, I begrudgingly watch the show because I know that Ryan Murphy intentionally posited a lot of the stories of the POC who was impacted by Jeffrey Dahmer in the series. So I do want to say that it's good for us to know the ways that the systems failed black people, specifically black queer people at the time of when Dahmer was alive. I am slowly working my way through the series because it is very heavy and there's a lot of things that are very triggering in the show. At one point, my husband looked at me and he was like, can we watch something else? Because I'm depressed. I'm like, yes, please turn it off. So I'm watching it. So I, cause again, I want to support, I like Evan Peters. I'm not going to even.
Yeah.
yeah. act like I don't. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah.
And a lot of Ryan Murphy stuff, it's problematic. But at the same time, I appreciate that he's trying to make sure that Black people get their due diligence. But what I will say in making that statement and why it's a no, ma'am, there are a lot of people who are sexualizing Jeffrey Dahmer.
Mm.
There have been a lot of people who have sexualized Ted Bundy. There are a lot of people. I don't get it. It doesn't, for whatever reason, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, that's the only thing I can say when I see these tweets of people being like, ooh, Evan Peter look real good. No. Like, this is not the time.
Yeah, no.
Like, this is not, like, out of all the things, no. This is not the time for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this man was killing and eating people.
Yeah.
Big yikes.
God.
And you're sitting there, the only thing you can see is, oh, Evan Peters look real sexy with his shirt off, with that blood on his. What? Go get help.
But listen, like,
there are codes.
I am all for you say there are what?
Codes. There are codes. All of the therapy apps. They give out free codes.
Yes, they're discount codes. I was like, oh, there are
discount codes.
Free trials.
What is wrong with you?
It's all there for you, boo. It's all there for you. God, yeah.
Yeah, I just, yeah, it's weird. I don't even really have anything else to say after that. It's hella weird that, you know, it's getting weird. Like, it's really weird when people sexualize these people. And I think what makes me even more annoyed or bothered by it is the fact that a lot of these killers went after people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they intentionally had it out to kill marginalized people and people of color, and you are sitting there sexualizing the actor who is playing this person that has caused so much harm to so many people. I just can't get with it. I don't.
I mean, to be quite honest, sometimes I'm just like, so what? Like, why did we choose to even make these shows? Like, why do these killers deserve to have the story? Like, I mean, back to a question that we had in a few episodes ago. Our stories can't even get told. We can tell the stories of people out here eating people's faces. Like, make it make sense.
Cutting off heads and keeping them in boxes, honey.
Sense. Wearing skins and shit. Like, where people have skins. Like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to me. And I can't.
And I think there's something to be said about, you know, why these shows keep getting made. So I think it's a both and kind of situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really fucked up that these stories continue to keep being told because the entertainment industry as a whole enjoys sensationalizing these people who did these heinous crimes. But then there's also this other idea too of, like, there are some folks who are like, we need to know these stories because folks need to know what happened. Or the families need to be able to have a voice and talk about what they went through. And that's what I said. Like, I appreciate, as much as it's hard to get through Dahmer, it helps me to understand what the neighbor was going through, because we've never heard anything from the neighbor. It helps the Black woman who was saying something's going on in that apartment and y'all need to look into it. It tells us the story of how years went by before police in Ohio did anything. And so, like, I sit there watching the show because, one, I'm not gonna lie, the show is good.
I mean, it's a good show. I mean, I bitch loves entertainment.
Ryan Murphy's gonna do something, he is gonna create a good show. But it also, at the same time, it's hard because it's like, I don't wanna feed into the entertainment industry continuing to tell these stories.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to know what these stories are because I want to make sure that I have the right information. So it's just it's a really hard. So I will say this, and then we can you know, wrap it up. I will say, watch the show if you can handle it. If you are a person who is like, this is too much, I don't want this sensationalized, I don't want these images in my mind or in my it bothers my psyche, I can handle it because I love true crime. Anything true crime is good for me. But I know for some people it's just too much, and I respect that. I get it. I respect it. And so, but all that to say, quit sexualizing Evan Peters in this role. Ain't nothing sexy about Jeffrey Dahmer. Nothing. There's nothing sexy about people killing folks. Like, there's just nothing sexy about it. All right. Well, with that being said, we said a lot this episode, and we're going to continue to keep saying a lot as we have been renewed for another year.
Yes.
I just keep saying that because I. because I love to see it.
Let him say amen.
And
yes.
With that being said, we love your feedback and we love your thoughts. We have started to see emails trickle in. Yes. So please send us an email at blackfatfempod@gmail.com. That's you got to spell it out. B-L-A-C-K fat F-E-M-M-E pod at gmail.com. I've gotten people, I tried to send you an email and it sent back. Maybe you got to check the show notes. You got to say it the right way.
You can say and spell black. Really.
You sure can. Say it and spell it, girl. You could also send us your thoughts via social media. If you follow us on social, we do check the mailbox. You can follow us at B-L-K fat F-E-M-M-E pod on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We check the inboxes. We definitely will respond. If you have critiques or negative views about the show, send those to Mar-a-Lago. We don't need them because that's where they need to go. They need to go to Mar-a-Lago. Don't send them over here. We don't want them. Joho, where can the dolls find you as per usual?
Oh my God. I wish I could say on vacation, but y'all can just find me at Joho Daniels across my socials. And it's official. She filled out her LLC paperwork. So once that's finished, I'm going to be a brand. I'm going to tackle that website and start on y'all with some updates. Until then, you can find me at your local supermarket arguing at the deli counter that chicken salad is in fact a salad if there's celery. Thank you. Thank you. Enough said. Thank you.
You know what? You want to talk about Ari, but this should probably have gone into my no man's, but you know what? It's our show and we do whatever the fuck we want to do around here. I wanted to send out a big FU to a certain company in the SoCal area that is also a supermarket who refuses to restock the shrimp Louis salad. Can you please... If you work for this company that has the acronyms of SB, can you please restock the shrimp Louie? Mama, it's a cute snack. I do a lot of work. I don't have time to make a sandwich. The shrimp Louie.
I heard playing with our scrims.
Life.
Give us some scrims and give us some Louie. Yeah.
Why are you playing, girl? Why are you playing? Like, just can you restock it? Well, with that being said, I love to see that you're a brand, and I love that you're out here in these LLC streets with me.
Yes.
As for me, you all can find me walking down the street in an oversized scarf. Because fall is officially here. We are going to see the temp drop substantially in the next couple of weeks, and I cannot wait to pull out my scarf from the gap and wrap it around my neck. You can also find me on social using the handle at Dr. John Paul. You have to spell doctor. It's D-O-C-T-O-R John Paul. There's a lot of spelling around here, but again, if y'all check the show notes, we wouldn't have no problems. Or you can visit my now refreshed website at www.drjohnpaul.com. We want to always say thank you so much to our producers Tari Harrison and Jonathan Strickland over at the iHeart team. Yeah. We also want to shout out, I know Will listens, Will Pearson. I just want to quickly say this again, this is going to be a gem for them, and I'm going to text them and tell them you may want to listen next week. Will, I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. You have changed our lives in ways you will never know. I wanted to shout out Joelle. I want to shout out Anna. I want to shout out anyone and everyone connected to the Next Up initiative. You all have been such a joy to work with, and I just love being a part of the iHeart family. So with that being said, thank you for changing our lives, and thank you for continuing to support us on our new venture into new territory. And also we want to shout out our amazing editor Chris Roger, who continues to make the magic happen every single week. This has been another show. Thank you for rocking with us. And remember, sugar can and does go on grits. Have a great day. Bye.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus
no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.